Elsteva Squirewell is an interesting story, transitioning from college defensive end to professional fullback. We get to know his background from Brett McCormick of the Herald in Rock Hill, South Carolina. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. To Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking Packers this morning. We're talking about OTAs. We're talking about the rookie class. And to do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone today. We have Brett McCormick of the Herald in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Brett, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys having me, and good morning to all the Packers fans.
Thanks for joining us. Brett wrote a feature on new Packers fullback Elsteva Squirewell, and we're going to get to Squirewell in a second here, Brett, but just can you start off by introducing yourself and kind of your role at the Herald and what you do?
Yeah, I'm the assistant sports editor, which is a misnomer because I'm a one-man sports department. So I'm still like working that assistant thing out with the HR people, but yeah, I basically cover everything down here in Rock Hill. So we have Winthrop, you know, Division I college, and then a lot of high school football. You know, like Clowney's from here, Stephon Gilmore, Cordero Patterson. So a lot of NFL guys, big football town. And then you know, up the road we got all the stuff in Charlotte too. So. Pretty busy job. I'm actually looking forward to summer when it slows down a little bit.
I bet. Okay, Brett, I was drawn to you because of your feature on Elsteva Squirewell, but tell me the inspiration for the article. Was it when you heard he had a tryout with the Packers? I mean, was that the impetus for writing it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because every spring we've got, we had 3 years in a row that Rock Hill had a first round draft pick, which is pretty good for a town of about 60,000. So every spring I'm kind of keeping my eyes on some guys. This year we didn't have as obvious a draft candidates. We had quite a few guys that ended up as undrafted free agents. And now Stevens was one on my list, but like everybody else was kind of like lower on the list. I honestly didn't really expect him to get a shot. So when I saw that he was, you know, invited to the camp, to the OTA, or the mini camp, you know, I was fascinated by that. And I didn't really think that it was as a defensive end because I knew that, you know, his size wasn't like ideal for what the NFL wants. So, you know, had to find out if there had been a position change or something like that. Plus, you know, as we'll probably get to shortly, he's just come from an area that is kind of always up against it. So, you know, it's a neat story, and he's a really cool guy. So.
Yeah, well, let's get into it. Tell me about Newberry College, because here in Wisconsin, I don't think many people know about it. It's not exactly a powerhouse football program like Clemson either.
Yeah, well, I would say it's a powerhouse, but on the Division II level.
Fair enough.
It doesn't have the national recognition for sure, but they've got. If you count Al Stevens, they've now got five guys in the NFL, which for D2 is, I mean, that's probably up there in the ranks of D2. They tend to get a lot of guys that kind of like slip through the cracks in South Carolina. So there's a lot of talent in South Carolina. And as Clemson and South Carolina got better the last couple of years, especially like when Al Stevens was coming out of high school, you know, they kind of were looking to Florida and some other places. And I think some good players sort of just filtered through, you know, and it ended up at Newberry or maybe like Coastal Carolina or somewhere like that. So Newberry is a school that gets a lot of guys like that. And, but you know, them sending guys to the NFL is nothing new. They got, two fully rostered players and then two practice squad guys. And then Al Stevens is the fifth right now. So, it wasn't like a complete shock that they got had another guy picked up.
Cool. So I think one of the interesting things about Squirewell is that he played on the defensive side of the football at Newberry. And you related this story in the article you wrote on him, but can you kind of tell about his performance against, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, Tusculum?
Tusculum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And if people Google the, search the story, the video's in there, but he showed a flash of what, maybe he could do on offense with a nice pick six that he had. So it's like a 6'1", 270-pound defensive end, which for Division II, was sufficient, but, wasn't going to get him an NFL look because he wasn't tall enough. But he played fullback in high school, and he has offensive ability. And against Tusculum, he broke his hand on the second play of the game, didn't come out. At halftime, they sorted him out, gave him one of the, you guys would remember, the Reggie White Club. And he ended up picking off a pass and made a couple of moves, and including, skipped over the quarterback who tried to dive at his feet, and made a nice little hurdle over the quarterback to score. And it just was sort of a play that summed up a lot of things about him. For one, that he's, he's a tough dude. He's not gonna quit. And but also showed that, he's got athletic ability and that maybe he can do something at fullback or H-back. Showed a little bit of ability, not only catching the ball, but then after he had it, with the run back.
Yeah, after the live edition of the show is over, we're going to post a link to your article so people can see that. I think it's really interesting. But we're talking to Brett McCormick of the Herald in Rock Hill, South Carolina, here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Brett, I also found the story interesting about how Squirewell attended the Beyond Sports Network Combine. Can you describe what happened there?
Yeah, I mean, this was like a kind of a combine in the shadow of the NFL Combine. So it's in Indianapolis. And one thing that I've covered quite a few of these guys in the last 4 years that have been on the periphery of the draft. That weren't like surefire picks. And one thing that Al Stivas did better than probably any of them that I've encountered so far was get his name out there. And so he did this before he even had an agent, kind of like set it up on his own. And he ended up, catching some eyes at that combine. And that led to an NFL regional combine where he met some scouts, which he then saw them again when he went to a Coastal Carolina pro day. That combine sort of got the ball rolling for him. He also grabbed Newberry has a lot of scouts that come, and drop through just on the odd chance they might find a diamond in the rough. And they had a stack of 70 cards of NFL scouts, and he told me he emailed every single one of them. And five of them got back to him, but I think those five kind of helped him out because they saw what kind of guy he is. He's super friendly. He's very outgoing. And, he's like a nice Southern South Carolina country kid that's just super friendly. And one of the things I commend him for is kind of being his own agent before he even had an agent. He does have one now, but he really went out of his way to kind of sell himself, which, when there's thousands of guys that want to do this job, you've got to be able to differentiate yourself. And a lot of time that's just meeting someone and, making an impression on them.
Okay. So in making the transition to fullback in the NFL, what is it about Squirewell that his coaches at Newberry believe he can make that transition?
Yeah, he's a very good athlete. He's really compact too. At 6'1", 260 is like, that's, I don't know what John Kuhn's size was, but sounds like, about his size probably, and maybe he was a little smaller, but he's a perfect size for a blocker, but he has really good hands and very athletic. And then, he's been in the trenches the last 4 years. And then, like I said, he played in a wing offense in high school. So, they ran the ball like every play, or, he was smashing up in the middle, whether he had the ball or was blocking for somebody every play. So, it's nothing that he hasn't done before. He just hasn't done it in a little while. They also used him at Newberry in short yardage packages. So, he did blocking and some fourth and one runs and a few things like that during college. So I don't think it's a big stretch for him. And then, you know, he's got this whole summer to kind of knock the rust off of those skills, you know, work on his, particularly probably his catching and route running and things like that. So yeah, I don't think it's a big, I don't think it's a huge metamorphosis for him to have to go through.
Yeah, it's an interesting story here. The Packers have declined to sign John Kuhn this offseason, which probably has actually opened up a roster spot for Squire Well. So we'll see what happens there, whether the Packers re-sign John Kuhn or not. But Brett, but last question here. I mean, what are your own personal opinions about the fullback position in football, its usefulness, and its future?
Yeah, I would say the pure fullback, like we've known him, the guy that ran and, you know, maybe had like 8 carries a season and blocked mostly, is probably done. But I see more of it as an H-back. I don't think an H-back is going to go away. I think of like the Panthers. You guys might remember Brad Hoover. They had him for a really long time. You know, they haven't had a pure fullback since they let him go, I think, a couple seasons ago. But they have had an H-back on the team since then, and then, you know, they line up tight ends in the backfield too. So I think if you're a guy like Al Stevens, you really have to show that you can be a factor in the passing game too, because I don't think it's worth a roster spot anymore for teams to keep a pure fullback. I think looking up in this story, you know, talking to Al Stevens and then a couple other guys for the story, they mentioned that they thought there were about 10 teams in the NFL that carry like a pure fullback. So, I mean, it really is kind of a position that's sort of going away. It, you know, it may come full circle again at some point, but just the way the game is right now, you know, it's, I think you've got to be more versatile than what the fullback of like maybe the 90s and before, you know, you got to have more skills than what that guy probably had.
Absolutely. Well, Brett, you wrote a very interesting story. Thanks so much for sharing it with us today. Keep up the good work there at the Herald in Rock Hill. And thanks a lot for joining us this morning.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks again.
All right. Take care. Brett McCormick of the Herald joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as well as we continue on with the show. I don't have sound bites today, but our Packers News of the Day segment. The Packers made a pair of moves at the quarterback position on Thursday, both involving players named Williams, releasing Ryan Williams and replacing him on the roster with Marquise Williams. So as far as Ryan Williams goes, he was a long shot to begin with. But just based on the timing of the move, I would have to say it was probably one of those cases where the Packers saw he just didn't have what it takes to be an NFL quarterback, you know, having taken part in the offseason for the past several weeks. You know, they didn't get a long look at him, but, you know, between rookie minicamp and the, you know, phase one and phase two of the offseason program, and now a week into phase three, you know, he's been around for several weeks at least, a month. And, you know, you can, you know, even though he wasn't out there a ton during, you know, team portions, 11-on-11s, you can see things in a quarterback like arm strength and fundamentals. And not everyone can do it at an NFL caliber level. So, I mean, maybe Ryan Williams is destined for a lower level of football, or maybe he'll get a shot with another NFL team. We'll see. Wish him the best of luck. But yeah, so his time with the Packers has come to an end. And as far as replacing him, and as far as unsigned rookie quarterbacks go, I don't think the Packers could have done much better than Marquise Williams, who's known as a dual threat quarterback, nearly rushed for 1,000 yards last season at North Carolina. And that's probably the best thing he offers, that threat to run the football. And that could definitely be a benefit for a guy on the practice squad, say when the Packers are preparing for a quarterback like Marcus Mariota, who they're going to see this upcoming season. Now, obviously, you got to do a lot more than just run as a quarterback in the NFL, however. And that's where Williams has the most to prove. And while the arm talent may not be elite, I like what he did playing at a high level, helping North Carolina win the ACC Coastal Division last season. Had a very nice record. They had a nice little offense there. I know Williams averaged over 8.0 yards per pass, or yards per pass attempt. That's impressive. I think he had like 24 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Got to cut down on those interceptions a little bit. Hey, he's still developing. And even more impressive, he did it without any great receiving threats there at North Carolina. And I know Ryan Switzer is a nice little player there who's you know, been on that roster for several seasons, but I'm not sure he's the next Wes Welker or anything like that. So, apart from him, there's even less. So we'll see what Williams offers in OTAs next week. It's an interesting move. He'll likely be battling Joe Callahan for the number three quarterback job and a spot on the practice squad. I think it's generally accepted that the Packers are only going to keep two quarterbacks on the 53-man roster, barring injury this year. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is your incumbent starter, and he's not going anywhere. And you've got, you know, after the Packers moved on from Scott Tolzien, now you've got Brett Hundley moving into the number two role. And you know, he was on the 53-man roster last year, and he's going to be again, but elevated to the number two role, the clip holder, the primary backup this season in 2016. And so, you know, the past few years, the Packers have kept, you know, three quarterbacks on the roster, and I don't anticipate that being the case. So, you know, you got the new guy here like Marquise Williams. He'll be battling Callahan for that number three job, probably going to be keeping one of those guys on the practice squad, more than likely. I mean, who knows? They could even bring somebody else in before training camp if they don't like what they see, but that's what they have right now, at least. And so, I mean, the Packers going to keep three quarterbacks. It's just a matter of, you know, it's going to be on the practice squad. So they'll keep three. I mean, because you definitely aren't going through a whole season with two, because I mean, all of a sudden one of them get, it doesn't matter if it's either Aaron Rodgers or Brett Hundley, either one of them gets hurt. And all of a sudden, if you got only two quarterbacks, then you're in trouble. So they're keeping one of these guys around for the entire season. They just got to figure out which guy's the best, who has the highest ceiling, and who they can develop a little bit. And that'll be who they keep around for this upcoming season. It'll be fun to watch them in the rest of OTAs here, what's left of them in training camp, and see them in some preseason action a little bit. And, you know, that's what's interesting about this year, actually, is with, you know, by no means do I like five preseason games. I think it's too many. But, I mean, if there's one small upside to it, it's that you get to see these rookies and they get to play a little bit more and prove themselves. And that's not a bad thing for these guys. So it's outweighed by several other factors, including injury and you know, not the fact that these guys don't need the time and all sorts of things. But it's an opportunity for these young quarterbacks to get some playing time in a game environment in the NFL against NFL caliber competition, and that's a good thing. So that happened. Those moves happened on Thursday. Then on Wednesday, the Packers released another player, but did not make a corresponding move. They released offensive lineman Vince Kowalski, who spent training camp with the team last offseason. He was released, and then he was re-signed this offseason. And I would say this would probably be an indication that the Packers like the rookies they're bringing in on the offensive line. And not just Jason Spriggs and Kyle Murphy, the draft picks, but also the undrafted rookies like Josh James and Corey Tucker and Jacob Flores. The Packers have now seen these guys for, you know, they saw them in rookie minicamp, their weekend OTAs. And I have to think, you know, that they like what they see, and that made Vince Kowalski expendable. You know, why the Packers didn't make a corresponding transaction is kind of unknown right now. They could just be leaving themselves some flexibility if they want to make a waiver claim or something like that. But you know, some people will undoubtedly speculate whether they might re-sign a player like John Kuhn, who we talked about earlier, or tight end Andrew Corliss, or something like that. I mean, all I can say is wait and see, because I mean, the Packers do this quite frequently. They'll leave one roster spot open, and you know, again, I think it's just flexibility, because I mean, if all of a sudden a guy pops up on waivers they want to sign, now they don't have to cut somebody. They've already got the room. So I think that's, you know, one reason you might do it. Or, you know, hey, I mean, all of a sudden Aaron Ripkowski suffers an injury, then John Kuhn's coming back almost for certain. So I'm not wishing that on Aaron Ripkowski, but I mean, that's just the way things work in the NFL. You got to be prepared for contingencies, and you know, that's what Ted Thompson's doing right now. There's a ton of, you know, attention on guys like Ted Thompson during the draft, but I mean, think about all those guys who work in the personnel department, like Elliot Wolf, like Alonzo Highsmith. You know, what are they doing with their jobs right now? What are they getting paid thousands of dollars to do? They got contingency plans. That's what they're doing right now. You know, who if the Packers suffer an injury, who are they going to sign to replace them? And I, you know, that's why this roster spot, I would say, is probably open. So we'll see what they do with it, if they do anything with it over the next several weeks here. One more piece of news. The Packers announced family night has been set for Sunday, July 31st. Family night's the annual practice being held at Lambeau Field during the beginning portion of training camp, and an opportunity for those who can't get tickets to the Packers, you know, for a regular season game, to be inside the stadium at a game-like atmosphere at a much cheaper price as well. So, it'll once again be televised to a statewide audience if you don't get tickets or you're not near Green Bay and can't make it. If you are interested, tickets don't go on sale till June 27th. So you've got some time to plan here, but they announced the date here and set it all up so they can make plans and you can make plans and whatever. So that announcement just came out yesterday, that the Packers did that. And one more piece of news here that I saw published, I believe it was on Wednesday as well. I know several outlets have reported it. I think it first came from ESPN.com. There's been so much attention this offseason on the weight of Eddie Lacy, but there's another player who lost some weight this offseason, Josh Sitton, offensive lineman, Packers' best offensive lineman, Pro Bowler, multiple-time Pro Bowler. He apparently lost like 20 pounds this offseason, wanting to stay healthy. You know, he's missed a lot of practice time the past few years, and especially this past year, he's had some back trouble. I believe he's had some ankle issues, and he just thinks that, you know, keeping his weight down is going to help him stay a little bit more healthy, a little bit more durable, probably carrying a little bit too much weight on his frame, especially, you know, according to the interviews that were published, you know, kind of saying now that he's over 30 years old and getting older, you know, it's much easier to carry that weight when you're younger, and you gotta change things up a little bit. Now there's certainly a trade-off there. You hope he doesn't lose all the strength that he had. I mean, we're talking about a guy who weighs over 300 pounds and losing 20. So, I mean, he's still huge, but just not quite as huge as he was. So you worry that maybe he loses a little bit of strength, but I mean, this is also a veteran guy who's been around the block and a guy who's among the best in the NFL at what he does. So I don't have a huge concern about Josh Sitton. But yeah, just interesting to see that he's dropping a little bit of weight. We'll see how that pays off in 2016 for him, because he's going into a contract season this year. Probably doesn't hurt that he, you know, is going to want to play well and maybe get one more big payday down the road here. Because the Packers, you know, there's a bunch of guys becoming free agents on the offensive line this offseason. In addition to Sin, there's TJ Lang, there's David Bakhtiari, there's JC Tretter, and Sitton is the oldest of all of them. And while he's the best, he is the oldest, and that alone doesn't bode well for him. I mean, he has other things that can make up for it, but you know, just another piece of the puzzle here in terms of why he may have done this and why we're hearing about it now. So interesting there, that piece of news. So that kind of does it, you know, since the, you know, initial reports from OTAs, that was kind of the news in the world of the Green Bay Packers over the last several days. And for our last segment here, the day ahead, you know, there's not a whole lot here as we enter Memorial Day weekend, but I did find this piece here. Friday's today, so the 27th, is the deadline for the Green Bay Packers Give Back Celebrity Bowling event. It's going to be held, the event itself, June 8th at the Ashwaubenon Bowling Alley, and it's raising money for the local NWTC, that's the Northeast Wisconsin Technical College, their Educational Foundation Student Emergency Fund. So participants in this charity bowling event will be paired with a Packers player, and typically you register four people for an entire lane at the bowling alley. It's not cheap, but you do get paired with the Packer and have your picture taken and all that, and you get food. So there's a lot involved with this. If you are interested, there's more information, and registration forms are available at Packers.com. So the team's official website, under the press release section, you can find it there. If you're interested in doing that, they're doing that, you know, right after early June, so not far away. So that's kind of the thing on the one of the few things on the immediate horizon for the Green Bay Packers, because they're giving players the time off over the holiday weekend. You know, during the off season here, they set up their schedule really well. Now the Packers, they had an OTA practice yesterday on Thursday, and that's it until this upcoming Wednesday. So they're giving players this time off. They've got today off, Saturday, Sunday, Monday on Memorial Day, even Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day. They're probably leaving that as a travel day to get back to Green Bay if these guys are going out of town. And then next week, Wednesday. So it's not till next Wednesday where they actually hit the practice field once again. And, you know, I think that's fine during the off season here, during the month of May and June, where we are still months away from the start of the regular season in the NFL. These guys deserve some time off, and I mean, they're getting the work in anyway. They can only hold like three practices a week. So they held three this week. They're still holding three next week. They're just pushing it back to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They're getting all the work in. They're just getting a little break in between, which is fine on a, you know, a Memorial Day holiday. They can observe the holiday too. So that's cool. And hey, everybody out there listening to Railbird Central, you have a good Memorial Day weekend. We won't be having a show on Monday. We'll be observing the holidays ourselves here at Railbird Central headquarters. So we'll talk to you next Wednesday then. That'll be our next episode, and we'll get back into the swing of things when the Packers hit the practice field for the second time during OTAs, and we'll see what new developments there are then. So we'll see you later, folks. That's the end of today's episode. Thank you to Brett McCormick of the Herald in South Carolina for joining us as our guest. And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. If you just go to iTunes and search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. Thank you to those of you who have. But if you give us a five-star review, five-star rating and a brief little review, doesn't have to be a novel. You don't have to write anything much. But we just appreciate it if you can put something out there, because it helps people find this show. Thanks a lot, folks. Like I said, have a good Memorial Day weekend, and we'll see you next week. I leave you today with a song called The Way It Goes by Kyle Hollingsworth on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack Go.
Begging for change with a Mountain Dew, a puppy on a string and a cigarette. The dreads are hanging past the waistline. In no hurry, just taking his time. Two girls kissing on a corner stop. As he walks by the pawn shop, the cool hip stores and the funky shoes.